Dr. Arthur Perry. He's one of the top plastic surgeons. He's got offices in Manhattan, New Jersey. You know, and he's been doing a show here on WOR for years and years and years. Very popular show and a great plastic surgeon. Everybody has questions on this subject, so he's the guy to ask. Dr. Arthur Perry.
John, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
And I went to his office, and I said, look at my face. And he goes, yeah, look at your face. We're going to do with your face. What can you do with his face? I go like that. I swear to God. I go, look at this. I'm getting old. I said, I want to maybe you could fix it up a little bit.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry, the best in plastic surgery.
Remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, host of What's Your Wrinkle? I hope you're having a great weekend. I am in the Hamptons with, what's your name again, my co-host?
Ha, ha, ha.
It's Susan Warner. Of course, we are here having a great weekend in the Hamptons, and I hope you are also. This is the show about you. It's the show about Susan's wrinkles. It's the show about splotchy pigmentation. It's the show about small breasts and large breasts and sagging breasts and fat on the hips. And that's what we talk about.
Chubs.
Chubs. And what else?
Cankles.
Cankles.
Flanks.
Flanks. That's what it is. Yes. So I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show for a long, long time. With Noah in the studio, I'm out there in the hills of the Hamptons this weekend. And we got into the sunscreen this weekend just a bit, right? It's a UV index over 3, and that means you need sunscreen. And we talk about things like that on the show. And today, we are going to talk about, do you talk about plastic surgery?
I love this topic.
Surgery? Yeah. Are you one of these closet plastic surgery users? Or are you out there telling all your friends? We're going to talk about that. I think it's changed a bit over the last few years. We're also going to talk about, let me see your forehead, Susan. Oh, you have a really nice forehead. But, you know, a lot of people have these very large foreheads. And it's something we haven't talked about on this show before. But the large forehead and what we can do to make a huge forehead a little less huge. So we're going to talk about that on the show. Kind of a reverse brow lift. This is a call-in show, though. 800-321-0710 is the phone number here at WOR. We've got, what are we going to give out? You know what, Susan? Last week it was clean time. Before that, soft time. I think we're giving nighttime.
Oh, then people better call in. My favorite product.
Right.
I need nighttime. Can I call in?
Yeah, you
I'm going to call. I'm going to leave
go on
the
Amazon
mic
and
call.
Buy it like
no,
everybody
no,
else.
No, I'm calling in and asking a question.
Okay, all right, you can ask a question. We'll give you some nighttime. Nighttime is one-stop shopping for skincare. It really is. It's got everything you need in one light serum.
Love
now,
it.
If you go to the stores, and I won't mention the specific stores, but they're not happy if you don't walk out with bags and bags and bags of products, really. And the way I look at it is I have a lot of patients. I have celebrity patients.
Oh,
and
that's not patients as in you have a lot of kindness.
No, I have. Yeah, that's right.
I-E-N-C-E.
She's got her snark meter up tonight. Okay, so I have a lot of patients who are very concerned about their appearance. I have celebrity patients. And even my celebrity patients will not do multi-step programs. It's the more steps you have, the more difficult it is to stay on the program. It's kind of like a diet.
A diet, right.
Yeah, the more draconian.
Simplify it.
Yeah. So it's true. The Atkins diet, very difficult to stay on, you know, diets that are really, really draconian. And
complicated.
If you have a, kind of an easier diet like the one that I helped, you know, remember that book, You on a Diet, I wrote?
I find just don't eat.
Yeah, well, I wrote that with Dr. Mehmet Oz and Dr. Michael Roizen, and we had a kind of middle-of-the-road diet in there. But anyway, so my product, Nighttime, has vitamin C, vitamin A, fruit acids, antioxidants.
It's the best.
Yeah, and pigment reducers. And it is good, and it's easy to put on. Put it on at night before you go to sleep. And the reason you put it on at night
is because vitamin C can't take sunlight.
That's right, and vitamin A. They're the vampire vitamins. They have to come out at night.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're giving away bottles of nighttime tonight. And before we get to our topic, let's take our first phone call. We have Sandra on the line. Sandra, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Oh, good evening, Susan and Dr. Perry.
Hey, Sandra.
So I have a friend who failed the stress test. She can't do the surgery according to what she was told. So she wanted a nip and tuck. She wanted a fix what troubles her. But what are other options now that maybe she can't do the surgery?
That's a great question.
Yeah, yeah. So, a lot of people look at cosmetic surgery as, not real surgery. But, your body looks at it as real surgery. So for all my patients who are going to have surgery, every single one, I have them cleared by an internal medicine doctor, an internist, prior to surgery. And if you're over 60, I have you get a stress test, an exercise stress test. And if you pass the stress test, then I know that we're not going to have any problems during the operation. We're not going to have problems with your heart. Now, we could, of course, have other issues like bleeding and blood clots and things like that. But we can pretty much rule out a problem with your heart if you've passed the stress test. It's not 100%, but it's pretty good.
So this person was smart enough to do it
and
didn't pass. So what
she
do you
didn't
suggest?
Pass it. So, here's what you have to do, unfortunately. She's got to fix the problem. So I, as a plastic surgeon, would not operate on someone who did not pass the stress test. Of course, they're not going to get clearance by an internist. Now the issue, of course, with the stress test is if you have a life-threatening problem, if you have your gallbladder acting up and you need to have it operated on, well, you're going to have to accept the failed stress test and,
But wait, Sandra, are you asking what other procedures can she do?
Yes, Susan, that's something maybe less invasive. That would be a nice result.
Well, the bottom line is...
What did she want done?
Yeah, what did she want done?
Well, she would like the jawline to be nicer and maybe a little on the neck.
All of us want the neck.
So here's the issue. Even a minor procedure, in plastic surgery and in surgery in general, we have a little saying amongst surgeons. There's no such thing as minor surgery. It's only minor surgeons. And even a small procedure, even a little nothing procedure, if you've got a problem with your heart, we inject a little bit of lidocaine. It causes an irregular rhythm or something like that with your heart. And the next thing you know, you're in the intensive care unit after having even the most minor procedure. So, of course, if someone doesn't pass a stress test, I'm not going to take them and do any procedure.
Not Althera?
No, absolutely not. Because even Althera, it hurts. Your blood pressure could go up to 180 during the procedure. And the next thing you know, you have chest pain.
I guess it's better to err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
Huh?
So, the problem, Sandra, is that there are doctors who are willing to accept risks. And, accept risk. It's your health. It's your problem. And if they say, well, the patient understands that there's a higher risk of a problem with the heart with surgery or with a procedure, if they're willing to accept that risk, they're willing to do the surgery or the procedure. I'm not. I don't think, I think a plastic surgeon has a responsibility similar to a parent with a child. You're not going to tell your kid, go ahead and climb on that helicopter on the outside because it usually it's okay. You're not going to do that. And the same thing with a financial advisor with a fiduciary responsibility to take your finances and protect them. The doctor has the responsibility to protect your health. And so the bottom line is I would say no cosmetic surgery and no procedures.
What about filler or Botox?
That's a very difficult question. I'd have to talk to the internist.
Okay.
And if the internist said, well, all right, she's okay for Botox or for filler, okay. But really, there's no surgery, and there's nothing that I can think of that would raise your blood pressure that I would be willing to do. The real answer, of course, Sandra, is fix the heart problem, whether that is a stent or cardiac bypass surgery or whatever it is. That's really what she has to do. And then even if she's on blood thinners, you can come back and have minor procedures. And after a while, you're going to get off of the blood thinners after a stent, and you'll be cleared by an internist, or your friend will be. Okay?
I have one more question about her. She also says she has a bleeding problem. She bleeds very easily. Does that present a problem?
Well, it sounds like we have some problems here,
I think,
Sandra.
So.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got a heart problem. We've got a bleeding problem. Yeah.
I think that's a major problem.
Yeah. See, I don't like complications as much as you don't like complications. And it depends on what kind of a bleeding problem there is. And so, I mean, is this a inherent bleeding problem, or is it because she's on blood thinners now or aspirin?
I don't know.
Do you know? You don't know?
I do not know.
Yeah, now I have to say that I do Botox and I do lasers and I do fillers on people who are on Coumadin and on blood thinners because I know that they'll bruise a little bit more and they'll bleed a little bit more, but it's not dangerous. I would not do a facelift or an eyelid lift on someone who was on, or liposuction or any surgical procedure for on someone who was on blood thinners. And then they might say, well, you know, we'll stop a couple days beforehand. And again, not acceptable as far as I'm concerned for cosmetic reasons. You know, again, you do that if you have that life-threatening problem. You have to go to the operating room in the middle of the night. You're on blood thinners and your internist says, okay, we're going to have to decrease the blood pressure, the blood thinners, or eliminate them. There's a higher chance of a blood clot or a stroke, but a lower chance of bleeding in surgery. It's a difficult question in any surgery, but when we deal with cosmetic issues, we have to remember, no one ever died from a wrinkle. No one ever died. So
that's very true.
I have a different standard.
So then, what options does that person have? You can't just ignore that person. You have to figure out another way to make that person look better.
Well, it depends. So if you're on blood thinners and you can't stop them, certainly if you're healthy otherwise, we could do fillers, we can do Botox, we can do lasers, we can do Ulthera. Ulthera might be one of the safest things. Ulthera is high-energy focused ultrasound, which can lift the jowls a little bit, and it can smooth crepey skin. And it has virtually no side effects. So Ulthera is a really good solution. I don't do Ulthera on people with heart disease, however. In fact, I had one person who actually we did in the operating room with sedation with, the Ulthera procedure because they had some risks. And in talking with the internist, they said, you know, if you have an anesthesiologist there, Ulthera would be safe, but other than that, if his blood pressure goes up, that's not a good thing. An anesthesiologist can control your blood pressure in the operating room by giving various drugs. So, you know, there might be a way to help this person, but maybe not. And you have to remember, this is for cosmetic reasons. No one ever died from jowls or turkey gobbler in the neck or something like that. All right, Sandra.
Can I ask you one more thing? What is Ulthera? How do you do it? Like, what is it?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but we have to take a short break. So here's what. Hang on the line.
Hang in with us.
Yeah, hang in there.
Okay,
we're going to talk about Ulthera when we come back from our break. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, sitting here with Susan Warner, the great author of Never Say Never, Never Say Always. Right? And yeah. We're going to talk about your book in a minute also, Susan. All right, we're going to take a short break. 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words.
Did you know? know that your skincare may be hurting you more than helping you? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. The foundation for looking good is clean, healthy skin. So I've created a program that is so simple that everyone can stay on it long enough to see real results. It starts with an incredible skin cleaner called Clean Time. It's actually good for your skin. Protect your skin with my daytime SPF 20 cream. In the evening, feed your skin with my powerhouse nighttime serum. Nighttime has vitamin C and A, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. And if you like moisturizers, well, I've created Soft Time with ceramides and vitamin D. Throw away the bags of useless products and try Dr. Perry's skincare. Join the thousands of people whose skin is healthier. Use the 15WOR radio code on Amazon.com for a 15% discount. That's 15WOR radio when checking out. And enjoy free shipping if you're a Prime member. And don't forget to listen to my radio show right here on WOR every Saturday evening at 6 p.m.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and we've got Sandra on the line. I'm going to get right back to you in a second, Sandra, but I want to remind my listeners that my office on Park Avenue is now open. It's a great office, 85th and Park, a brand new office. We gutted it, and it is quite spectacular. I've got all the lasers there. I've got Althera that we're going to talk about in a minute there. And pretty much every filler and every botulinum toxin that you can imagine in the Park Avenue office. It's Park Avenue and 85th Street. We've got a relationship with a garage now there. So those of you who are averse to coming in because you can't park in Manhattan, yeah, we've got a garage that's reasonable. There is congestion pricing, but we're above 60th Street. So just come over the George Washington Bridge and you can get us without paying that extra $15. All right. So, Sandra, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I want to learn about Althera.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Althera, also called Altherapy. Here it is. It is sound energy. So, you know, plastic surgeons have a lot of different ways to punish people, yeah, with lasers and knives and all these things. But seriously, there are these energy creating devices that we call like lasers. And lasers and Althera uses sound energy. Lasers use light energy.
I've had it.
You've had it. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I've had it four times. And
I didn't cry though.
You didn't cry. I kind of did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a pretty bad patient. Mm-hmm. So it's uncomfortable, but not terrible. But here's what it does. It takes sound energy and it focuses it either, you know, 1 millimeter, 1.5, 3 millimeters, 4.5 millimeters underneath the skin. And it actually takes, let's say, the energy of a train almost and the sound energy of a train, and it focuses it to a 0.5 millimeter spot, little tiny spot. Now, if you've ever been next to a parade and the bass drum is beating away and you feel that your pants vibrate, you know that sound has energy and it can travel through the air and cause your pants to vibrate. So we're causing the molecules to vibrate underneath the skin to an intensity that causes a heat injury. It burns you. Yeah, so we're purposely burning you just like the way we burn you purposely with a laser. And why on earth would a plastic surgeon want to burn you? The reason is...
make collagen.
Susan has been the co-host long enough. We're going to give her that MD degree after all. She'll be Dr. Warner. So that's right. When we heat up the tissue and burn it, we make collagen. It stimulates the formation of collagen, and it also shrinks the skin. Those are two good things if you have too much skin and not enough collagen, which is what happens as we get older. So I use Althera. I've been using it since 2010. I was one of the very early users of Althera, which is not typical for me. I usually wait for a long time, but this is one that made a lot of sense. So we can actually see the tissue with ultrasound and aim the Althera at the right level. So I'll aim it deep, I'll aim it superficially, depends on what I'm trying to do. And I can lift the brows, I can lift the jowl, And it's particularly good for crepey neck skin because there's not much that is good for crepey neck skin.
Can I talk about that?
Yes,
you can. I had it done, and it was a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But an Althera patient has to be patient. You're not going to walk out of there saying, wow, look at that, like filler. There is a slight difference. There's a difference when you're done. But you have to remember that it's over time. So you can't be banging on your door 5 days later and say, I don't see a difference. And then one day you look at your neck and you say, there's a difference.
That's
look
right.
at that.
That's right.
But it takes patience with it.
That's right. So what it is you are starting a biologic process. That's what's happening. When you create that little burn underneath the skin, if you look right away, you only have a little bit of a benefit right away. But as Susan correctly said, it takes about 3 months or so to see the benefit from Althera. So it's not overnight. That biologic process is, I tell my patients, it's kind of like watching, a plant germinate. If you plant a seed.
Paint dry.
Yeah, paint dry. Well, no, it's slower than paint drying. Paint dries right away. But the plant, if you plant a seed, you go back the next day, the seed hasn't germinated yet. You know, it's not going to germinate 36 hours later. It's going to take a while.
But you do wake up one day and say, it looks different. You say, wow, it's the Althera.
That's right. There's a bean. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So I've had it, and I'm overdue for my next Althera treatment.
So am I.
Yeah, look at my neck, Susan.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sandra, did I answer your question?
I just have one more thing on that.
Wait a minute. This is like five questions here.
Okay. Go, Sandra.
Go ahead.
Just last thing. Does it leave any scars, maybe? Is that possible?
No.
No.
In fact, Althera really is the safest
procedure. No bruising, nothing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've done thousands of Altheras now, and I had maybe a half a dozen bruises.
Didn't bruise, nobody bruises.
Well, one of them was my wife.
Oh,
how's that?
Okay.
You know.
But if I didn't bruise, I bruise for everything. Yeah. If I didn't bruise, nobody bruises.
And the interesting thing is the very first patient I did, I went over her facial nerve and knocked it off for 2 weeks. I'm honest. Mm. Yeah. So she had her smile was kind of off for about 2 weeks. She had had a prior facelift, and so the facial nerve had been moved. And I said, well, this is terrible. It came back in 2 weeks, so it was all right. But it also told me, I said, well, this actually works, right? It does something. It mm-hmm. does, you know, it's not a sham procedure. It really does.
But you must be patient.
And you also have to know where the nerves are. So you don't want someone who...
Oops.
We don't want that. So I'm a fan of Althera. I think it's one of the best procedures. It is completely non-invasive. You could be on television the night after, of the procedure, and no one would know the difference. Every now and then we get a welt, and the welts usually last about 2 hours. I've had them maybe last couple weeks at the very most, but that's pretty uncommon. Okay, Sandra?
Sounds good. That sounds like a nice thing to do.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yes.
It is a nice thing to do. It really is. So, Althera.
All right.
So go ahead and
Sandra.
Make an appointment, get your Althera. And you know what I'm doing in the office now, Sandra? I'll keep you on while I'm talking about I'm doing what I call flash rejuvenation. What do you think of that? Flash rejuvenation, a very, very superficial laser. So it uses the carbon dioxide laser. It's a laser that's called the fractionated laser. And in a very low setting to quickly and aggressively exfoliate, and it does get rid of a few wrinkles and evens out some of the... You want that?
Is that the one I had?
No, you haven't had this yet.
Okay.
Let's
do it.
Yeah, well, that's your pay as your being the co-host. Yeah, so it's called... I call it flash rejuvenation. I can do it for your face, and I can do it for your hands. We're having a special in the office now, actually, to introduce my patients to this flash rejuvenation procedure, only in the New York office, not in the New Jersey office. So there
come
you go.
Come in.
Yeah, come on in, Sandra.
Everybody.
Come on down, as they used to say.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye, Sandra.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Good night,
you
guys.
Too.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye now. All right. So, Susan. a lot of people hide their cosmetic surgery.
Yes, they do.
You know, I, of course, you know, when I had my rhinoplasty, I didn't have my rhinoplasty, but if I did, I would talk about it. I would, you know, my nose is very much like
Tom
Cruise's,
right? It's funny that you said, I think that rhinoplasty is the most hidden, maybe in line with facelifts. But rhino people do not want to admit they had their noses done and that that was not the nose they were born with. And I'm not sure why.
Yeah, it's really very interesting. Now, I think it's changing.
Rhinoplasty, I don't think is. I think the other procedures might.
But there are all these celebrities that have cosmetic surgery. And you look at their photographs, and it's either they had cosmetic surgery or they underwent a mutation or they were taken by
True.
Aliens and brought back to Earth with a different appearance. It's, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious. If you look like, you know, something today and 6 months from now you look like something else, of course you had cosmetic surgery. And why would you not tell people? Why? Would you?
People want, I think that the genesis is that particularly women want people to think it's a natural beauty. That they weren't enhanced, they didn't pay anybody to do it, it wasn't a frivolity, that they were born that way. And I'm not sure why that's a thing, but I know someone who would not tell her husband or her children that she had any cosmetic surgery. She would not tell them when she had fillers. She would kind of disappear for a while. And finally, I think she's come to terms with it. But it I used to laugh. I mean, I was that person. I had eye surgery to correct something, and it was really bad. I'm really bruised. You didn't do it. Very bruised, and it looked horrible. And you had to wear these glasses.
Before we knew each other.
No, it was a. I needed an ophthalmological.
Oculoplastic surgeon.
There we go. And I took off the sunglasses, and I went to work, and I said, this is it. You know, I had my eyes worked on. Like, what am I hiding? It's ridiculous. But women are really embarrassed that they weren't born that way. And I just think that's funny. You color your hair, you put makeup on, you change your clothes, but you can't admit that you altered something. I'm not sure what the psychology behind that is.
Well, how about the people that that color their hair? They're 70 years old and they've got brown hair.
But most women will admit it. They're very open about, you know, the big question is how often do you have to do it?
Like, men don't admit it.
Men don't admit it. There you
That's
go.
Right.
There's a reversal.
That's right.
Men, you know, when you say to somebody, you know, you're coloring your hair. Nope. Well, it was gray yesterday, and it's black today. So how does that work?
Yeah.
Men are very reticent to tell you that they color their hair. But women with this alteration of natural beauty, it's really funny. But yet you know a reason that that's changing. Why?
Well, you know, it is changing for a number of reasons. First of all, there are some celebrities. Like I did have Joan Rivers on the show. And, you know, she's still on the intro to this show. And Joan talked about her cosmetic surgery. Before her, there was Phyllis Diller. The first person actually to come out of the closet with her cosmetic surgery was given an award by our National Society for helping people accept cosmetic surgery. So I always say, Susan, that the way to get people to stop talking about your cosmetic surgery is to talk about your cosmetic surgery. And then it becomes a very boring thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you were to tell your friends about your facelift, every time you see them, they say, all right, enough already.
I'm not sure that that's true, that they wouldn't keep asking, but that's another issue.
I don't know. Well, I think. But what's happening now is even though celebrities are still denying that they've had cosmetic surgery, what's going on with the younger people with Instagram and WhatsApp and all these things, they are talking more and more and showing on the internet their process.
I also think that because there's this whole underground exposure of people, they want to expose celebrities and influencers, that you don't have a choice because they're going to show you next to each other a picture of you in 1999 and a picture of you in 2005, and it's not the same face.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, jigs up.
Yep.
Kind of thing. And it's posted all over the world.
Well, I remember, you know, for a short time, I was in Beverly Hills performing cosmetic surgery. And in the building that I operated in wait, that's the bag of potato chips, Susan, the crunch crunch. The building I operated in, there were something like 20-something plastic surgeons. And there was always a paparazzi standing right across the street at Judy's Deli there in Beverly Hills waiting for a celebrity to come out. And they usually got one, you know, because there were so many celebrities being operated on in this facility. You know, it was easy pickings for the paparazzi. So, and people continued. I mean, how many celebrities have denied it, you know, despite the fact that they've been caught with bruises? And I remember there was that big thing about Michael Douglas after he had his facelift. He flew to Central America to get away from the paparazzi. And now, my disclosure, of course, is I don't know for a fact that he had the facelift, but it was in the newspaper that he had the facelift. But anyway, so, you know, do you tell people? Do you not tell people? Of course, it's a personal decision. But why is there that stigma? I don't know. We're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back from our break. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I am in the Hamptons broadcasting live with Susan Warner, 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words.
They say that 60 is the new 50, but while you may feel and act 50, the mirror doesn't lie. But that's where plastic surgery comes in. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I love helping patients look younger and better. If you've got sagging cheeks, jowls, and that dreaded turkey gobbler, it might be time for a little nip and a tuck. You look more rested and, yes, younger with my short scar facelift. And the artistic injection of wrinkle filler or a laser peel, well, that might be just what it takes to get you looking as good as you feel. Let's sit down for an hour consultation in my new Park Avenue office. Together, we'll come up with a plan to help you look your best. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-P-E-R-R-Y-M-D. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm here with, what's your name?
I don't know. You don't seem to know it.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, Susan Warner is here, and Susan is the author of a book called...
Never Say Never, Never Say Always.
And that book is available on...
On Amazon.
And what is that book about, Susan?
My book is a book on wellness, on recovering from profound grief, on finding a better life, on looking forward to waking up every day.
And that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a great read. You can buy that book. You know, this is a book for people who have experienced loss, and everyone either has or will.
Everybody has, you know, in some regard.
Your spouse, your parent, your child.
Your pet, your friend.
Your pet.
Yeah, yeah, your grandparent.
Yeah, and so this is a book that helps you. You know, I've had a lot of my patients read the book. I've told them about it. You know, I had a woman come in my office last week. She was crying about, she was having Botox, but she was crying about relatives who she was telling me had cancer. And I said, you know, this is a great book to read. It'll give you strength. And
at least some insight.
Yeah, insight into...
living your best life.
Right. So what's again the name of the
never
book?
Never Say Never, Never Say Always on Amazon.com.
On Amazon.com. All right. So let me look at your forehead, Susan. Yeah. It's kind of an average forehead.
It is an average forehead.
When you look at someone's face, and what do you think the forehead should be in terms of the percentage of your face?
I have no idea. I'm not a big forehead person.
All right. Well, plastic surgeons have studied this, and there were many studies done at the University of Pennsylvania where they looked at women who were considered beautiful. That would be you. Women that would be considered models. You know, society decides certain people look really good, and we like looking at those people on television, and they're usually celebrities or models, and then we measure what is considered to be a perfect face. So if we look as a plastic surgeon at your face, I can divide it into thirds, starting at your chin. The first third goes to the bottom of your nose. That's a third of your face. The next third goes from your bottom of your nose to the eyelid crease. That's a third. And then the top third of your face goes to your hairline. So your face is divided into thirds. if you have a really big forehead, then that top part, the first third, will be more than a third. And it looks kind of funny. So you don't have to be a plastic surgeon or an anatomist to understand this. You just have to be a person. When you look at someone, your mind is making mathematical computations at all times. And you're looking at someone, and if the math is off, they don't look beautiful. So, I mean, that's how it works. And, you know, we're not thinking in those terms. We're just thinking of beauty. And if I see someone with a really big forehead, it's one of the things in plastic surgery that we don't spend a lot of time thinking about or trying to fix. And women tend to just take their hair and cover their forehead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they wear bangs. Or I have a lot of people who tell me they don't even care about those horizontal wrinkles because they cover their forehead with their hair. All right, so there are surgical ways to fix that, though, and probably increasing in frequency. The concept is a forehead reduction surgery. Not that common, but increasing, because there are a lot of papers very recently being written about this. And the way it's done is an incision is made right at the hairline. And we can remove nearly about 3/4 of an inch or so of skin. It depends, obviously, on the person. But we remove the skin and lift up the skin all the way down. I go all the way down to the eyebrow and lift the skin up and sew it. There's a scar, though. The scar goes from your temple across your hairline to the other side. And you know, is that visible? Usually it's not, as a plastic surgeon. We try and create really good quality scars with facelifts. We have excellent quality scars. And usually with this procedure, the forehead reduction procedure, also good quality scars. But there is a scar, so you have to face that. But we can remove a fair amount of skin, and we get a little bit of a lift of the brows if that's what you want. It doesn't have to be. The procedure can be done differently. This is done, by the way, in the operating room under sedation. We don't need general anesthesia, but it's a good idea to have sedation. So we remove that strip of skin and sew everything back, and the scalp comes down. So we loosen the scalp, and I won't get into the gory details of that. The scalp comes down, the forehead, the brows come up, and that's our forehead reduction. So the satisfaction is very high. The risks are pretty low, but everybody gets a numb scalp for about 2 or so months afterwards. Usually most of the sensation returns, and you lose about 2 or 3 inches of the scalp sensation. All right. We're going to take a phone call now. Noah, who's on the line again? We've got Linda on the line. Linda, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hi, Dr. Perry. I came to visit you a few years ago because I didn't like under my eye. I thought it was all sunken in. And you said I would need a lower blepharoplasty, if I said that right. And I'm kind of ready now. I got the courage up. But I have a son getting married in the fall, and I was wondering what the recovery was for that procedure.
Okay, so a lower blepharoplasty, that's the name of the operation. It's an eyelid lift. And what we do is it's under local anesthesia with sedation. So I don't advise doing it under straight local anesthesia, but we don't need general anesthesia either. So I make an incision right underneath the eyelashes. And I lift the skin off of the muscle, and then I see the fat of the lower lid. And there are 3 fat pads of the lower lid, and they protect the eyeball. It actually floats in those. But it has nothing to do with fat underneath the skin. It's fat around the eyeball. And we tease it out, and I like to say I take a judicious amount of fat out from each of these. And then we remove a little bit of skin, and voila, we're back in action. Your lid looks nice. It looks smoother, less wrinkled, less fat in the lower lid.
And so what's the recovery?
Well, I'm getting to that. I want listeners to understand what the operation is first. So pretty much it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks of swelling. I mean, you look like you went 3 rounds with Mike Tyson right afterwards, or Susan's going to whack me in the face after the show. Yeah, there you go. There you have bruising. That goes away in about 2 weeks. The swelling goes away. Also, most of it in about 2 weeks. But there's subtle amounts of swelling for several months afterwards. But you won't notice that. You can put makeup on it 2 weeks.
So she, for fall, she would be fine if she did
you're fine.
Now. Do
yeah.
it in May.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the sooner the better, obviously, because you want to be completely recovered. The risks of eyelid surgery are pretty low. The incision is usually invisible after a month or so. You know, most of my patients don't even have to cover it with makeup, but the incision for the lower eyelid lift is exactly where you would put your eyeliner. So you might put it on there, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, and hide it. And if you have any residual bruising, that might last 2 weeks, maybe a couple days longer than that. You can cover it with makeup. But certainly, if the wedding is in the fall, you've got plenty of time to do this, okay?
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming in a few years ago. I hope to see you again.
Hope so. Thank
okay.
you.
All right, Linda. Have a great day. All right, I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, host of What's Your Wrinkle? We're going to take a short break. We've got more to talk about. Here on WOR, the phone number, 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words.
Did you know that your skincare may be hurting you more than helping you? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. The foundation for looking good is clean, healthy skin. So I've created a program that is so simple that everyone can stay on it long enough to see real results. It starts with an incredible skin cleaner called Clean Time. It's actually good for your skin. Protect your skin with my daytime SPF 20 cream. In the evening, feed your skin with my powerhouse nighttime serum. Nighttime has vitamins C and A, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. And if you like moisturizers, well, I've created Soft Time with ceramides and vitamin D. Throw away the bags of useless products and try Dr. Perry's skincare. Join the thousands of people whose skin is healthier. Use the 15WOR radio code on Amazon.com for a 15% discount. That's 15WOR radio when checking out. And enjoy free shipping if you're a Prime member. And don't forget to listen to my radio show right here on WOR every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. They say that 60 is the new 50, but while you may feel and act 50, the mirror doesn't lie. But that's where plastic surgery comes in. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I love helping patients look younger and better. If you've got sagging cheeks, jowls, and that dreaded turkey gobbler, it might be time for a little nip and a tuck. You look more rested and, yes, younger with my short scar facelift. And the artistic injection of wrinkle filler or a laser peel, well, that might be just what it takes to get you looking as good as you feel. Let's sit down for an hour consultation in my new Park Avenue office. Together, we'll come up with a plan to help you look your best. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-P-E-R-R-Y-M-D. Check me out on the web at perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur, forgot my last name, Perry. Hey, by the way, you know, this is the last week that you can get tickets to the Night of Wine and Roses. There's only about 30 tickets left. We talked about this over the last few weeks. We had Dr. Michael Nissenblatt on as a guest last week. And the Night of Wine and Roses is the benefit for the American Cancer Society in New Jersey. It is a great gala. I'm the medical honoree this year. It's May 10th at 6:30 in Somerset, New Jersey, at the Palace at Somerset, and it's a big fundraiser for the American Cancer Society, which is so important. You can still get tickets, but there aren't many left, and I think they close out very, very soon, Monday, Tuesday, something. So if you want to go, call on Monday. Call Carrie at 732-903-2061. That's 732-903-2061. I know a lot of my patients will be there. My friends will be there, and I hope to see many of you there also. It's the American Cancer Society Night of Wine and Roses, Friday, May 10th, 6:30 p.m. in Somerset, New Jersey. All right, so the last caller raised an interesting question. She was talking about her blepharoplasty. When can she have her blepharoplasty? You know, I have a lot of patients that come in, and they have consultations. And since this is cosmetic surgery, you know, you say, well, am I going to have a procedure now? Or, you know, life gets in the way, and then a year goes by, 2 years go by, and then I get a phone call, well, it's time to do the procedure. And just like that last caller, was it Linda, who talked about coming in to see me for a blepharoplasty, and now it's years later, and she's interested in the procedure. Many times that happens. But if there's a lot of the prompts to get cosmetic surgery, to have cosmetic surgery, are social things like a wedding. You know, if your child is getting married in a couple months, you want to look your best. Everybody knows that the wedding is for the parent, not for the child. Isn't that true, Susan?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay, well, I don't know. But certainly you want to look your best. Well, you're putting on the wedding. You're paying for it. You're the center of attention, the mother
of
the bride.
You're not the center of attention. The bride
Ooh.
Is.
Well, okay. All right. Well, anyway, if you are going to be at the wedding and you want to look your best, then it would be, you know, one of the things you would consider is cosmetic surgery. And so you have to think way in advance, because let's say you need a facelift. You want your jowls gone. You want the turkey gobbler in your neck gone. And the wedding, you know, here we are in April. The wedding is a June wedding. Well,
here we are in May next week.
May, right. Yeah, it's a June wedding. You're kind of out of time. Now, I talked, we had a show on this last year about what you can do. But if you've got those June weddings, the only thing you can do at this point to look better is, let's say, filler and Botox and maybe the laser. Because it does take time to see the results, and it takes time to also recover from the procedure. So if you're going to have a facelift, well, you have to plan for problems, even though we don't want problems. I don't want them as a plastic surgeon. You don't want them as a patient. But we can't guarantee. It's not like getting your car in the garage and fixing a dent. When you have an issue that requires surgery, some unforeseen things can happen. And one of the most common things that happens after a facelift is little tiny lumps, little lumps. And that's because you can bleed just a little bit after surgery. We're not talking about important surgical bleeding where you have to go back to the operating room, but we're talking about, let's say, 2 weeks later, you forget and you bend down, tie your shoes, and that evening you notice a little tiny lump in your neck. And that represents just maybe a quarter teaspoon of blood. Not a big deal, no medical consequence whatsoever. But it's the last thing you want to see, particularly if your kid's wedding or your wedding is coming up in just a few weeks. So you want to give it plenty of time. And when you have those little things, if a scar is a little thick or you have a little ridge that's going to take 2, 4, 6 weeks to settle down, you know, give it enough time. So certain things you can do right away. So, Susan, if you were going to get married in June, you know, here it is, just a month and a little while before that, you could have filler. You could have Botox, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could have Ulthera.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ulthera, for different reasons, you want to do in advance. Like you mentioned, it takes 3 months to see the benefit of Ulthera.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to have Ulthera today and have a wedding in 2 weeks. Well, we're not going to have a problem from it. We're not worried about bruising. We're not worried about any of those complications. But we won't see the result right away. So you might as well plan ahead and do the Ulthera at least 3 months in advance. If it's filler, you can do it 2 weeks in advance. That's okay. You know, I like to give it a little bit more time. If you do have some bruising, it's going to take a little bit of time to let that go settle down. For Botox, Botox takes at least, it could take as little as a day to work, but it could take as long as 2 weeks to work. So you have to give that time also. And, you know, with Botox, there are so few complications. I'm not worried about doing it. I'm not worried about drooping eyelids or anything because I don't, you know, I haven't had that in my practice. That's up to the skills of the doctor. But again, if you're going to have a procedure like a tummy tuck beforehand, because you want to look really good in that dress, that I would give 3, 4, 5 months before the procedure. You really want to have full recovery and have no restrictions whatsoever before that big day. So think ahead if you're going to go to the wedding. And like Linda was saying, the wedding is now in the fall, so plenty of time. Don't wait until the last minute, though. Don't say, okay, well, Dr. Perry said, you know, it takes 2, 3, 4 weeks to recover and be ready for a wedding. If it's your wedding, if it's your child's wedding, you're going to be on display, and you want to give it as much time as possible. So if the wedding is in the fall, now's the time to have your surgery. If the wedding is in the fall, you'll, you know, if you're only having Botox once, it's too early, because Botox only lasts 3 months, 3.5 months, maybe 4 months. Daxxify is that longer-lasting chemical, longer-lasting Botox-like compound that might last as long as 6 months. But, you know, you have to time these things properly. All right, I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, host of What's Your Wrinkle, right here on WOR. And the interesting thing about my field of plastic surgery is that it's influenced. It's the only field of medicine that's influenced by social goings-on, like social media. So when you, Susan, go on Instagram, you're deluged by all these different reels and pictures of people. You also might have a photo editing application that comes up on your Instagram. It says, you know, change your appearance. Do you know that there is actually an association between the use of social media and the photograph editing applications and self-esteem, would you think? You know, just based on what you see on the no?
Yeah,
of course. There is, and there was actually a study that looked at this, and it turns out that people who use YouTube a lot or WhatsApp a lot or Photoshop a lot, they have an increased consideration of cosmetic surgery. Just by virtue, there's an association. The people that look all day on Instagram are more influenced by it. And
somehow that's not surprising. When all you're doing is looking at visual people, of course you're worried about visuals.
Yeah. Well, but we actually study these things. So if you're one of those people that spends all day on your phone, like Susan's doing right now, she's reeling through. If you do, then you're going to be exposed to all the influencers and all the people that that use those filters, right, to look better. How many times have you seen that, Susan? You
know. Well, we don't know. We only have to surmise.
Yeah, right. But it is interesting, and it actually kind of ties into the popularity right now of cosmetic surgery. So it's pretty fascinating stuff as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, in talking earlier, we were talking about facial rejuvenative surgery and the ideal proportions of the face. When we look at your face, right, we look at the forehead, we look at the midface, we look at the lower face, and we can divide that up. We also have these vertical lines that plastic surgeons use to look at facial symmetry. And we divide the vertical face into 5 lines. And your face is divided into 1/5. And your eyeball is about 1/5 of your face. Your nose is about 1/5 of your face, and so on. When we look at these different proportions, both vertical and horizontal, that's how I, as a plastic surgeon, might assess you and decide whether or not your nose is too wide, for instance. When I look at you from the front, Susan, you're the middle 1/5 of your face, your nose should fall within that entire middle 1/5. If it's too wide, it'll fall more than a fifth. So it'll be maybe 25%, some people 30% for a very wide nose. And that's how we assess the different aesthetic parameters. And that's how we judge whether or not we're going to do some narrowing and a rhinoplasty, something like that. So those different proportions are become very important to us. All right, I'm board certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. The show is almost over. Susan is happy about that. The phone number in New York is 212-753-1820, 212-753-1820, if you want to make an appointment with me in the Park Avenue office. I'm still seeing patients, of course, in Somerset, New Jersey. And the phone number is 732-422-9600. If you're interested in my website, it's perryplasticsurgery.com. And the products that we talk about on the show, go to Amazon.com. That's the easiest way to order those now. Or you can go to drperrys.com, drperrys.com. Thanks so much for great engineering, Noah. Thank you so much, Susan. It's been a pleasure. We'll see everybody next week at 6 o'clock. Bye-bye now.